Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today I will summarize and review the book. Encounters with the Archdruid by John McPhee is a 1971 work of narrative nonfiction that examines one of the central tensions in modern environmental politics, whether land should be preserved for its own sake or used for immediate economic development. The book is built around David Brower, the influential conservationist and former Sierra Club leader, and three separate encounters with men who embody different forms of opposition to his preservationist vision. McPhee does not write a conventional polemic. Instead, he uses reported scenes, dialogue, and close observation to show how environmental conflicts are shaped by temperament, values, and practical constraints as much as by policy. The result is both a portrait of Brower and a broader study of American attitudes toward wilderness, extraction, development, and water control. The book remains significant because it presents disagreement as a serious moral and political problem, rather than a simple contest between heroes and villains. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, David Brower as a forceful model of preservationist environmentalism. At the center of the book is David Brower, whose view of wilderness is uncompromising and idealistic. He argues that wild places have value beyond economics and that they should be protected for themselves rather than justified only through human use. McPhee presents Brower not as a simplified activist symbol, but as a complex public figure whose conviction can be inspiring and difficult in equal measure. This matters because the book is not merely about one man's opinions. It uses Brower to define a preservationist ethic that shaped major debates in American conservation. His insistence on protecting land, even when there are short-term financial arguments for exploiting it, gives the book its philosophical core. Readers see how a committed environmental leader can mobilize public attention, pressure institutions, and challenge assumptions about progress. At the same time, Brower's intensity reveals the limits of moral certainty in political conflict, since his forcefulness often depends on refusing compromise. McPhee makes that tension central to the book's meaning. Secondly, the Glacier Peak dispute and the logic of resource extraction. The first encounter places Brower opposite a mineral engineer involved in the Glacier Peak wilderness debate, where the question is whether potential mineral wealth should remain untouched. This section lays out one of the book's most important contrasts, preservation versus extraction. The engineer represents a practical, present-day argument that land should be available for economic use if it can support jobs, materials, and development. McPhee does not reduce this position to greed. Instead, he shows how it rests on a different idea of responsibility, one that prioritizes current human needs and usable resources. The force of the section comes from the fact that both sides speak in terms of public good, yet define that good differently. Brower's position treats wilderness as something that can be permanently damaged by short-term gain, while his opponent sees unused land as wasted opportunity. By staging this conflict in a specific wilderness context, McPhee turns an abstract policy dispute into a concrete moral question. The result is a careful examination of how environmental decisions become hardest when the costs and benefits are unevenly distributed across generations. Thirdly, Charles Fraser. Planned development and the uneasy middle ground, the second major encounter brings Brower into conflict with Charles Fraser, a real estate developer associated with Hilton Head Island and development plans in the Southeast. Fraser is important because he complicates the simple opposition between conservationists and developers. He does not present himself as an enemy of nature in the crude sense. Instead, he argues for controlled, planned development and claims to be a kind of conservationist himself. This is one of the book's most useful insights. Environmental conflict often takes place not between complete destruction and complete preservation, but between competing versions of stewardship. Fraser's critique of environmentalists as modern druids helps explain why the title of the book is so pointed. He frames Brower's position as morally absolutist and socially costly, while Brower sees development as a threat to irreplaceable land. McPhee captures how each side can sound reasonable within its own framework, which makes the conflict more revealing than a simple ideological clash. This section shows that environmental controversy often turns on questions of scale, regulation, and acceptable change, rather than on a total rejection of development itself. Fourthly, Floyd Dominey and the politics of dams, water, and Western power. The third encounter extends the book's environmental argument into the politics of water control and large federal engineering projects through Floyd Dominey, the commissioner of the Bureau of Reclamation. Dominey represents a mid-20th century faith in dams, irrigation, and the transformation of the landscape through public works. His worldview is especially important because it reflects a long tradition in the American West, the belief that water can be captured, redirected, and used to produce prosperity in difficult terrain. McPhee uses this encounter to show that environmental disputes are not only about scenery or wilderness sentiment, but also about infrastructure, regional growth, and national planning. Domini sees dam building as constructive, practical, and necessary. Brouwer sees it as a powerful way to erase canyons and ecosystems. The section is significant because it widens the scope of the book beyond individual sites and into the state-sponsored reshaping of nature. It also demonstrates McPhee's larger method. By letting the participants speak and act in context, he reveals how environmental policy is embedded in institutions, technical expertise, and historical ambition. Lastly, McPhee's narrative method turns policy conflict into character-driven journalism. One of the book's defining achievements is McPhee's method. Rather than writing a standard argument about conservation, he constructs a narrative nonfiction work that depends on scene, dialogue, and balanced observation. This allows the reader to understand environmental conflict as a human drama shaped by personality, language, and persuasion. McPhee is careful not to flatten the opposing figures into caricatures, which is part of why the book has lasted. The formal structure also matters by dividing the book into three distinct encounters. He creates a repeated pattern that encourages comparison while preserving the individuality of each dispute. The result is a book that works simultaneously as journalism, environmental history, and literary nonfiction. Its lasting value lies in how it makes readers think about the style of argument itself. People involved in land use debates are rarely discussing only facts. They are also defending values, identities, and visions of the future. McPhee's controlled, attentive prose shows how those layers interact. That is what makes the book influential beyond its immediate historical moment. In conclusion, Encounters with the Archdruid is best suited to readers interested in environmental history, conservation, public lands, and the literary possibilities of nonfiction. It is especially valuable for anyone who wants to understand why land use debates remain so difficult. The book shows that such conflicts are rarely just technical disagreements, but clashes between different moral frameworks and different ideas of the public good. Readers concerned with climate policy, wilderness protection, resource extraction, or the history of American environmentalism will find that the book clarifies the roots of arguments still being repeated today. What distinguishes it from many other books in the genre is McPhee's refusal to simplify the opposition. He gives readers a vivid conservationist in David Brouwer, but he also presents developers, engineers, and reclamation officials as serious participants in the national debate. That balance makes the book intellectually durable. It offers not only a historical record of major environmental battles, but also a model of how journalism can explore controversy with precision, restraint, and depth. The book stands out because it makes the reader weigh competing values rather than settle for an easy verdict. If you would like to support John McPhee, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.